Darling one, you were born from the sweetest love, cast from the fires of creation, burning bright into the making of your perfect constellations. Head high, my love, never let them diminish you. Stand tall in the power of your love. Break open to the thousands come before you, written in your heart with holy blood. Keep going, my love. Hold tight to the scripture of your inheritance, your dreams born from ancient stone. Weave your magic, star of wisdom, breathing life into hollow bones. Courage, my love. Place pain upon your sacred altars. Grow seeds where life has become hopeless. Lend hands to those who fall and falter. Let love be life's greatest opus. Welcome, beautiful soul. My name is Tara Wilde, and I'm the creator of the Dreaming the Ancestors podcast series and community, where we talk about remembering and reclaiming ancestral stories, feminine wisdom, and earth magic. This is episode 10, and I'm here with Sarah Drew to talk about the mysteries of the priestess path. I first of all want to give a special welcome to everyone who's part of the Dreaming the Ancestors Facebook community. I would love to hear your thoughts and reflections on this episode in our Facebook group. And if you're not part of our Facebook group, I lovingly encourage you to come and find us. You can find us on Facebook, and the group is called Dreaming the Ancestors with Tara Wilde. And we have just a gorgeous community, lots of like-hearted women who are interested in ancestry and all of the topics that we talk about in this podcast series. I'm now going to officially introduce you to Sarah. I'm so, so excited that Sarah is here with us. As the visionary author of the Gaia Codex, Sarah Drew is a poet and mystic mythologist who catalyzes powerful blueprints for the future, deeply rooted in the gnosis of the past. Her professional experience includes early forays into creating content for virtual reality platforms as the CEO and co-founder of Certman in the 1990s, and subsequently working as a producer and creative director on media projects that have explored the edges of digital technology and visionary narrative. Sarah has been a featured speaker at the graduate level and at organizations such as Google and ABC Deepak Homebase, and she is currently a popular teacher and mentor for women worldwide on topics such as feminine wisdom and evolutionary culture. A lifelong explorer of culture and consciousness, Sarah has traveled from the jungles of the Amazon to the high peaks of Bhutan, where she has had the honor of studying and living with key lineage teachers. Her work expresses a deep curiosity and polymathic approach to exploring multiple disciplines with a focus on humanity's evolution, the cultivation of compassion, and our multi-generational nurturance of Mother Earth. As a storyteller, she is inspired by regenerative narratives that give us both a deeper understanding of our past and powerful blueprints for the future. Sarah currently serves on the following advisory boards: SheTV, a new media platform for women, and Mission BE, an initiative that brings contemplative practices into urban schools. And Sarah lives with her husband in Manhattan and on a lushy forested farmstead in the Hudson Valley. Ah, it's so wonderful to have you, Sarah. I'm just so, so excited about our conversation today and just want to officially welcome you.
Tara, it's wonderful to be here and to be with the group of women that you've gathered globally. It's a gift to gather in these times.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. So I'd like to take a moment here to close our eyes and to really imagine that we're having this conversation in the flesh, heart to heart, and we're sitting around a great fire. And listeners, I invite you to really bring this into your mind's eye and to feel the experience of this, to imagine that we're sitting together in circle and we're sharing wisdom and we're sharing stories like our ancestors have done for generations and generations throughout time. And as we hold this vision in our hearts and minds of being gathered around the fire, I'd like to take a moment for Sarah and I to welcome in and call in our ancestors and guides to be in this conversation with us so that their wisdom can flow through us and we can share what's most meaningful to share. So I'd like to begin here. And I'm really feeling the presence of the wise grandmothers in this moment. I've been working a lot with the wise grandmothers recently and feeling their depth of wisdom, feeling the ways that they carry the stories of our lineages, the way that they carry the essence and resonance of our peoples, and really feeling their ancient role of holding space for the sacred feminine in meaningful spaces where women of all ages would have gathered and they would have tended the space and held the space and been that transmission of wisdom that gets passed down from generation to generation. So I'd like to call in and welcome in the wise grandmothers of my blood and bone. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of your profound gifts. Welcome, Mila Buikas, Mila Buikas. And with that, I'd like to pass over to you, Sarah.
I'd like to evoke the presence of all sentient life, all the manifestations of Gaia in her many forms throughout her history. As I'm sitting here, both here present at our virtual fireside, I'm looking out at the bone trees. It's almost nearing the winter solstice, and there's a doe who's eating some of the grass, the exposed grass. She just lifted her head as I'm saying something here. But appreciating all sentient life and the teachings that it has for us when we take the time to listen and to really let ourselves become interconnected with the web of life. Thank you for guiding us and for teaching us, and may we continue to be students of your revelation and your wisdom.
Thank you, Sarah. Really feeling the power of your share. I invite everyone just to take a deep breath as we settle into this conversation now. And the title of this episode is Mysteries of the Priestess Path, where Sarah and I will bring our experiences and wisdom forward about what being a priestess means to us and why ancient feminine wisdom is needed right now on the planet. I feel a little emotional saying that. And for anyone who is familiar with Sarah, then you'll know that she is the author of the fictional book, The Gaia Codex. And this is about a lineage called the Priestesses of Astira. And the book reveals the hidden histories and teachings of a world long forgotten and the secret wisdom of an ancient lineage of women through the ages. And if you haven't read this book, it is so beautiful, and I really recommend that you get yourself a copy. And if you're listening to this podcast, then I imagine that you are someone who feels a sense of resonance or curiosity with the priestess lineages, but I also want a presence that I know the word priestess doesn't resonate with everyone. And if that's you, then I invite you to see if you can sort of soften around the word a little bit and know that what we're talking about is ancient feminine wisdom and mystery teachings that have been passed down through the ages. And if it helps for you to think about this in a different kind of language, then by all means do that. So I'd like to begin by saying a few words about the sacred feminine to sort of set the context for the conversation we're about to have. You know, what does sacred feminine even mean? Over the years, I've been asked this many times, and the best answer I've come up with is this. The sacred feminine isn't something that can be told to you. It's something that you have to experience. And the sacred feminine has so many faces, so many expressions, but at the heart of it, the sacred feminine is an embodied and intuitive experience of our own divinity. And different stories and mythologies give us clues about where to look for the sacred feminine and how to awaken to this wisdom. But we really have to feel it and experience it on a personal level. At least this is my view. And it's my hope that this conversation with Sarah helps to awaken the sacred feminine in you and give you some insight about how to unleash your sacred feminine in the world. So Sarah, I'd love for you to introduce yourself in your own way and share a little bit about what the priestess path means to you.
I think maybe we just jump right into explorations of the priestess path. And I love how you invited us to soften around the world. I mean, to me, it's with all words, they kind of accrue meaning over time, but then there's these points where a word can renew itself. And I think we're at this point where with the word priestess, with the idea of priestess, with the path of the priestess, that it's something that can be really reawakened for our times. I mean, for me, the idea of a priestess is that it's a holy vessel, a mission, a path, and that we hold this mantle, we put on this cloak, we take and embody these practices as a means to be both protectors of our Mother Earth, but also to be almost, in my own personal understanding, it's interlinked with the bodhisattvic vow, in a sense, where we are in service to all sentient life now and through time, backwards and forwards in time. In the mythos of the Gaia Codex, it's about an ancient lineage of women that through the rise and fall of cultures are both guardians of the codex itself, which is the wisdom of the earth, but also of the earth and all life. And they hold these codes for rebirth and regeneration, especially at times like this, when a culture is starting to disassemble and to be reborn. So it's not only a path in a lifetime, but in my understanding, it's a multi-lifetime path of celebration, learning, and of deep service.
Thank you so much. I resonate with your description and your share on that so deeply. And to me, I just want to echo that the priestess path is so much about sacred service in a way that's deeply nourishing to our mind, body, and souls, to every aspect of who we are. And, you know, I think I sometimes just try to simplify it for myself and, you know, say to myself, you're just here to give your gifts. That's all you have to do. There's nothing complex about it. Just give your gifts and to really use your gifts in the way of service. And I especially feel that deeply in service to Mother Earth and the awakening of humanity and really breaking out of, you know, the matrix, as we might call it, where we've been told, you know, how we're supposed to live our lives and what we're supposed to value and what have you, and just coming back to a more heart-centered vision of who we are and why we're here, sort of remembering our origins and really putting that above all. And the words that I keep getting lately too are walking the pathways of love in all these different expressions and forms. So I just wanted to add that in there as sort of my own reflections on what the priestess path means to me. And Sarah, in your book, The Gaia Codex, you weave so much wisdom into the story about the sacred feminine mysteries, which are often expressed through scriptures of a sacred text that's called the Gaia Codex. And I would love it if you could tell us a little bit about what the Gaia Codex is and sort of how you received the wisdom, if that makes sense.
What I love about my understanding of the Codex is it intrinsically is something that is taught about and shared in many indigenous cultures, which is in a way part of the evocation that we started at the beginning of this, is that, you know, the earth herself has this deep wisdom to share with us that is there to reflect our soul's evolution and journey, and to also give us teachings. And it's like a 4 billion year old living codex of wisdom and information that, you know, in this current culture, we've, you know, many of us, or many people, we should say, have become disconnected from it. My own vision and understanding of it was, when you read the book, the prologue of the book came to me probably 20 years ago. So this is what came to me first, and the rest of the book, which is a narrative, a story, it's an adventure, it's, you know, it's about a young woman, Lila Sophia, and her reawakening into the sisterhood, but also her reawakening into her path and her purpose, her soul's purpose. But this is the beginning of the book. Through the flow of ages and the rise and fall of cultures, a secret codex has been inscribed with the tales and stories, the rites and rituals of priestesses who are emanations of the eternal goddess, caretakers and guardians of our Mother Earth, Terra Gaia. In India, China, and ancient Sumer, in ancient Greece and Egypt, in the Serengeti and the Amazon, and in the Celtic wilds, there flows a timeless tradition amongst those who have walked the earth, who revere and remember the circle of life. Passed from grandmother to mother, daughter to sister, auntie to niece, held safe in the hearts of sisters who have incarnated through the ages. This is a text not written on pages, paper, or papyrus. Instead, it is inscribed in holograms of light, in the leaves of trees, the hum of bees, and the codes of spiral DNA. Hidden from many, the codex is known with those to the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to feel that which lies just beyond the veil. It is said that the Gaia Codex contains jewel seeds of planetary destiny for all beings and life on planet Earth. These women, the priestesses of Astera, have sheltered and protected the codex, and when necessary, kept it hidden and ready for those moments of extraordinary crisis and transformation when it will be needed once more for the nourishment and regeneration of humankind.
I'm just letting those words sink in. It feels like such a deep remembrance. For those of you who are listening, I would love to hear if it feels that way for you as well. And something that really just stood out to me hearing it in that moment was that the Gaia Codex, you know, has been hidden when necessary, and that it's always there, ready to be brought forward in times when we need it most. And I just feel that this is a time when we need this wisdom the most. And, you know, especially because we're, as a humanity, as a collective, we're so out of balance with Mother Earth and, you know, also so disconnected with the heavens above us and what we might call the web of life, as you have, as you've shared. And this wisdom used to be revered in ancient cultures, and it's guided entire communities and civilizations. But when we look at the world today, it's really not difficult to see how far we've come from these teachings, but also amazing to realize that we're able to awaken these teachings for the first time in a long time. And when I think about how long women have been banned from the priestess teachings and these teachings of the earth, and how long we've been severed from our intrinsic connection to the wisdom of nature, the web of life, you know, I feel emotional that we are at the beginning of a new age where this wisdom is being brought forward again. And so I'd love to hear from you, Sarah, your perspectives on this and why the priestess path and these teachings of the Gaia Codex are so relevant and needed in the world today.
Well, I, you know, feel the power of this particular moment. And I think it's one, chronologically, I'll be 56 in March. And, you know, this moment in history, I think, has been one that that many have felt on the horizon as a possibility. You know, the future, of course, is never certain, but there's certain futures that have gravitational force that can draw us forward. It can draw a group of people, it can draw a species, it can draw the collective imagination forward. And this particular time is one that personally I've felt for a long time, when the wheel is turning and there's a dissolution of certain infrastructural aspects of our current society in order to move back into deeper alignment with the earth. And, you know, of course, the experience of this is also, as part of the wheel of creation and destruction, is part of it is it means that there's a dissolution. So things that may have been part of the societies that many of us have grown up in, are no longer tenable. And many of us know this. And many of us also know of a deeper way in our hearts and our souls of how we can be. And the role of the priestess, the role of women, the role of, and we will go by many names, you know, in this next wheel, in this next incarnation of the sacred feminine on the planet Earth. Some of us will outwardly call ourselves priestesses. Other of us will go by other names, but at the heart, there is this dedication to both be vessels for the sacred feminine, to be vessels for a re-enchantment of the earth, and to gather together, because it's going to be something where each of us has a piece in this puzzle. Each of us will have a different teaching, a wisdom, a gift to bring forth. But the underlying aspect is right there in that pulse point, is that we are here in service to the well-being of all beings now and through time, and to the continuancy of the fertility of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I feel when I hear those words, it feels like a remembering, like this whole conversation so far feels like a remembering. And maybe some of you listening are feeling that as well. And it feels like I have walked this path before in different timelines, different lifetimes. And in the Gaia Codex, mm-hmm. you actually talk about how the priestesses of Asteria remember their past lives. And I speak to a lot of women who have past life memories of being priestesses, healers, midwives, and other sacred feminine roles and the many forms that that takes. And I've also heard a lot of different opinions about past lives, you know, whether they're important, how to be culturally sensitive when talking about past lives. And I was just wondering if you could shed a little bit of light on this topic and any personal reflections you have on this.
Yeah, it's such a great question. I mean, at this point in time, myself personally, the story, the mythos, if you will, of past lives is one that deeply resonates with me and that I find great joy and comfort in. You know, sometimes as a thought experiment with myself, I do say, okay, let's say that that's not true. What does that mean? What is the experience right now of that? For me, and how it's evolved over time is, there's different aspects of it. One is just the level of interconnectivity with all life. You know, in the Buddhist tradition, they say everyone at some point has been your mother, right? And your father, and your lover, and your brother, sister. In some aspects of the theory, you know, we've been the tree, we've been the stream. You know, it's a way of deepening interconnectivity with all life and all creation and all forms. Another aspect how that's explored within the Gaia Codex is the Metamorphosis Project. I won't give too much away of that for that, for those of you who have not read the book yet, but our main character, Lila Sophia, goes through a metamorphosis where she, as in many shamanic traditions traditionally, is experiencing all different forms of femininity. So it's also a form of the goddess in her many forms, which is seen in different cultures. The other aspect of it, you know, for me is where there's maybe unhealed wounds either held collectively or in my personal soul, jiva, as they would call it in Sanskrit. There's places of familiarity. You'll walk land and go, I've been here before. I know this place. I feel drawn to continue in the mysteries and the traditions of this place. So there's certain points that I've personally experienced with that, like continuing business, if you will. From a young age, I personally have had this sense of having lived many lives. And so it was not a found, it was like a very young, like 3 or 4 years old. But I know it's not that way for anyone. I think ultimately it's, you can see it as a story that's useful to you to learn with. It's a teaching story. It can be a truth, and it certainly gives a very wonderful path of guidance. Within the mythos of the priests of Astera, it is really an organizing principle because there is this wonderful sense of women coming together and going forehead to forehead, heart to heart, and going, I see you, we've been here before, and we continue again for these times.
Thank you so much for that share. I resonate with so much of it. And just going to your point about the Metamorphosis Project in the book and how, you know, Lila Sophia goes through all these different iterations of different life forms and how that is strongly linked to the shamanic traditions. I've sort of read about it and learned about it in the Celtic tradition. And to me, I was just having sort of a new understanding of it as you were sharing that through going through all these different forms, it really, you know, connects us into the web of life in a deeper way. But it also, I think, allows us to experience a deep sense of empathy for all different forms of life, compassion, and heartfelt, you know, connection that I think is often so missing in our world today. You know, I was reading this very interesting article about how many teens today are actually lacking in empathy, which I find very concerning. And it's something that I think we really need to come back to. So I love this idea that the experience of past lives and remembering how we were not just other human forms, but, you know, other animals and the water and the trees and the sunlight and all these different aspects of life really can open our hearts to a whole new experience of life and empathy and compassion for all living beings. And something else that this conversation brings in for me too is that, you know, when we're thinking about past lives as priestesses in particular, I feel like there's sometimes this kind of sense of wishing that we lived in another time. I've actually heard lots of women in my community speak about this, not just in relation to the priestess path, but this sense that, you know, we wish we were still living in a time when our feminine wisdom was openly celebrated and passed on from generation to generation, you know, when we had this unbroken lineage of connection and transmission to the ancient mysteries. And I would really love to hear your thoughts on this and why it's important to stay focused on the impact we can make in these times, in this time of radical change.
Well, I think the great news is, the good news, the great news, the wonderful news is we're doing it now. We are, we're stirring the cauldrons again, and we're bringing these traditions back to life. And just like our connection to the web of life, you know, they can be dormant, they can be under the ground, they can be waiting, they can be sleeping. But when they awaken, and this is what's really wonderful and what I'm seeing happening, and I think we're going to see a lot more of it in 2021. It's been a long wait, but I'm feeling that there's this upswell of the Shakti, if you will, of the sacred feminine coming and moving through the vessels of women, moving through the vessels of women's circles. And the knowledge and the wisdom, and this is part of the beauty of the Gaia Codex itself, and of the idea that there are women that are holders. We are the holders. It's not something that's far and distant in the past or even far or distant in the future. We're here and we're living it right now as we have through multiple generations. It's never ideal circumstances. And of course we can have these moments when we are in, you know, in the Buddhist tradition, it's called Pure Lands, right? Where you really, you're in the enchanted forest and the enchanted temple, you're in Avalon, you're in those moments. But that place, that place of perfection is not something that we can make a journey to it, but it's always right here. It's a here, it's a blink away, it's a moment away. When we go into that other, it's a state of being that generates first from within ourselves. And so as we refine and as we awaken and as we come together, and what the beauty of the feminine is that as we gather in circle with other like-minded women, other like-minded priestesses, we are together creating this enchanted earth. We're dreaming it together. We're activating it together. By healing the wounds within ourselves, we're able to illuminate the collective shadow that each of us hold, but each of us also have the medicine for. And this is part of going into the living mysteries of the priestess and part of what we're here to do right now. And I think, you know, any of us that are on this call, you know, it's not by mistake that we're called here. And we will be doing it, some of us will be doing it together, and some of us will be doing it in different pathways and circles. I like to see it, it's like a jewel of many facets, but I've more been thinking that it's a circle with many entryways in. But when we come into the center of this sense of being, we are going to be drawing from the proverbial fountain of sacred waters. And through our refreshing of ourselves, we'll be able to share it, hopefully with many, many beings on the planet in these times through many, many different forms of expression.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that, the circle with many pathways in, something that along those lines, what you just said, just resonates so deeply. And I see this every day. I see this every day through the work that I do. And Sarah, I'm sure that you are seeing this as well. And just how much we are really opening up to the wisdom of the earth in these times, and the radical permission that we can give ourselves to walk these pathways as well. And I love that you shared that we have both the shadow and the medicine, and we see this in nature all the time. You know, when there's a certain kind of, you know, let's say it's the scene of a river with a forest, and there's an herb there that's poisonous, you'll also usually find the cure on the same riverbank. And I feel like this is how we are designed as well, that we have both the poison and the medicine inside of us. And that is so much a part of what I think we're here to alchemize on a personal level and collectively. And that just really makes my heart sing, to feel that happening. And something else that was coming through as you were sharing, and something that I've been just reflecting and experiencing a lot recently, is the experience of frequency. And actually, something that I've been really experiencing is that the priestess path is, and the Gaia Codex, you know, in that form, is a frequency that we can tap into. Like you were sharing about being in Avalon and being in the Enchanted Forest and these different sort of experiences of reality. And to me, it's really just aligning our own frequency with the frequency of those mysteries and those places and what have you. And something that I've been experimenting a lot with is frequency through sound. And I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with this particular study. I'm not remembering the name of the gentleman who did these studies in this moment, but I'll put it in the show notes. But he did a study on water where he took different kinds of water, but that were all from the same source. And then he spoke over them different words like love or fear or things like that. And when he froze the water, it actually changed they froze in different patterns. And he, you know, did this many times and saw that these crystalline patterns changed based on the frequency of the words that were spoken over them or sung over them or what have you. And I just find this really, really fascinating. And I feel like this is part of the ancient mystery of understanding the web of life and the power of intention, the power of our words and sound frequency. And when we look at ancient civilizations like Egypt, you know, they had a very, very close relationship with sacred sound. And we see this in the Celtic tradition as well in certain aspects. And I'm sort of just going on a tangent here, but it's coming through for some reason. And I'm wondering, Sarah, if you want to jump in here and share anything about frequency and sacred sound in relation to this path.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about it's Emoto. He's a Japanese gentleman who did the experiments with looking at the frequency and crystallization geometric forms of water. Can also explore it more in terms of cymatics, right? Where they're doing a similar experiment where they take a drum, you know, and they put silicon or sand on it and then speak over it. I did some early experiments with that. We were, you know, tracing out the different vowel sounds and the different geometries of the different vowel songs with a Cymoglyphs, if you Google it. It was a gentleman over in England who actually originally met in Glastonbury. So yeah, I work with sound a lot personally. It's an immediate way, right, to start to see the that matter is not so dense, which is something we may know theoretically, or maybe we have moments of, illuminated vision when we're out in nature, or we're meditating, or we're making love, or we're in circle, and you start to see everything vibrates with light. And sound, of course, is a wonderful way to enter into that. In terms of understanding the frequency of what a transmission or what something like a book holds, I know for myself, when I was writing Gaia Codex, it was really interesting. There was a very specific frequency that it was supposed to embody, both in the language, but as a transmission. And when I would start to, at any point, there's many things that didn't make it into the book. But if I was doing some writing that did not follow that frequency, it was very clear that it wasn't supposed to be there. And so that there was a certain, there was a certain frequency that was supposed to be coherent through the books. I remember early on, I sent it to an editor, and she goes, "I don't understand the language." And, I checked in and I prayed with it and I wrote back to her, and I didn't end up working with her. And I go, the languaging is supposed to be what it is because it holds the transmission of the book, right? I don't know, but it was something that was clear to me. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage, any one of you who are bringing forth a new generation of transmissions and teachings for our time, or our bridges between ancient traditions, to really, fine-tune yourself as a vessel, because that's how we can really listen to what's true. And to also, be courageous, especially when we're bringing in old ways, new ways, ancient ways, timeless ways. You may have reflection back that this is not a sense-making for our times, but hold your vision. And I know also, we're getting a little extemporaneous. There can be a time, like in any cycle, of the seed germinating. Be okay with holding it close for a time before you let it out, to let it really root. We're going off a bit of the sound, but...
It feels important.
It's going to be a next generation of women that are bringing forth, our dreaming of the planet. So how we're doing that, both together and individually and together and all of above, is really, there's a methodology to it that, many cultures follow to how to work with the illusional, with Maya, the illusional world, but how you can do it to really start to reweave, if you will, our experience. As I'm talking, the deer, there's now 4 deer out there, and there's 5 mallards on the water, and a little bit of snow falling out. It's quite gorgeous. Mm. Three male mallards, 3 female. Mm. Anyway, Mama Nature's celebrating that we're talking.
I love that. Yeah, what I was just getting from what you were talking about holding our seeds sort of close to our hearts, our dream seeds, this feels so important, because I think it's, I'll just speak from my own experience. There are times in my life where I've felt like everything needs to be rushed. And I think that this is part of the symptom of living in the society we live in, where we're supposed to be highly productive and move forward quickly, especially with the age of technology. Everything is so fast. And I think really slowing down to hold our dreams with preciousness and just holding our visions very steadfast feels like a very different way of approaching things. And this actually sort of bridges beautifully into the next question I wanted to ask you, which is about sacred service work in the world and our contribution to creating a better world for future generations. And to really sort of discuss what sacred service work really means. And I feel like this ties in beautifully with the dream seeds. And, you know, I just know that so many women are so hungry to be of service, but sometimes don't know where to start, and sometimes go about sacred service work in a sort of self-sacrificing way that can lead to burnout. And this is something I've definitely done in my life. And so, Sarah, I would love to just hear any insights that you have about how women can step into sacred service work in a way that feels truly aligned and life-giving.
I love that we're, you know, asking this question, this query, as we're recording this right now. We're soon entering into the winter solstice, right? The dark quiet, the mother womb. And it's such a beautiful time reflected in nature. This is in the Northern Hemisphere at this point, where we can just go into the deep, deep quiet and really listen and really be still. And from my experience, that's where everything begins. That's the fertile soil with which we'll plant the seeds of inspiration that come. And many of you, as you're listening, you know, may have your own visions, your seeds, your knowings. You know, it may be something that you jot down on your notes on your iPad or on a piece of paper, or a beginning of a song that came to you, or a vision for a business. And, you know, I think when those flashes of inspiration come, sometimes you'll get the full blueprint, you know, in one flash. Sometimes it'll come in pieces. One thing that I like to encourage all of us is don't be afraid of it being lost. It too is existent there. I like to think of it as a hologram that's there and it's waiting. And for myself personally, as I've grown and developed, then the access becomes deeper to that. You know, especially these things that are truly ours to do. And be okay with offering it up to the goddess and asking her, you know, mother, is this mine to do? And be okay with her taking those things that aren't ours to do, but leaving us with the true things that are really our, you know, our practice, our dharma. And just in terms of like, I think the response of others, to go back to a little bit what we were talking about before, be okay in sometimes when people say, oh, what are you doing? What are you up to these days? Be okay at sometimes just to say, not have an answer for that, and not have to rush to satisfy our persona or ego and say that we're doing something or start to talk about something before it's too early. Be okay with being quiet or simple with it until it's the time to really unleash it, because then you'll have the tailwinds with you and it'll be so easeful as opposed to more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that I feel called to share, to add to what you shared, which was so beautiful, is that I feel like there's a lot of talk these days about finding your purpose, and this phrase just kind of makes me cringe a little bit. And maybe just because it's been so over commercialized, but I think that we sometimes are led to believe that we have one single purpose here. And I actually have found for myself anyway much deeper resonance with living purposefully and really, you know, to me, that allows space for us to be multifaceted, multidimensional, to, you know, give our gifts in different ways, to invest our love, our time, our energy in different ways. So it's not so singular and pointed and linear. It sort of allows sort of a lot more room to stretch our wings and to actually expand into the fullness of who we are and the multitude of ways that we're here to live with purpose. And something I wanted to share, a sort of personal, vulnerable story. I feel like I am sort of on a path now that feels deeply resonant. And it took me a while to get to this point. I feel like I went through so many different, I invested myself in so many different things, different organizations, projects, startups, my own businesses, you know, and it all kind of came to a head. It was last year, so 2019, when I had been, you know, starting a business that was going to be a large business. You know, we were doing fundraising and things like that. And it was so interesting because I was doing it with a very dear friend of mine. We were working deeply together on it. And it was so interesting. We took a little break from it for a couple of weeks. We'd been working really hard. And when we came back together, we just looked at each other and we both said, "What are we doing? What are we doing?" And it was so beautiful because I had sort of prepared myself to come into that conversation and sort of have a back and forth and for it to feel kind of uncomfortable because maybe my dear friend wouldn't feel the same thing that I was feeling, but we felt the same thing, that we were just on the wrong path. We'd invested a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy, and we just said, "This is not right." And it was at that point that I suddenly opened up to this, the current, you know, expression of my business as it is now, and finally surrendering to what I'm actually here to do. And I just wanted to share that because, you know, finding the things that call deeply to us don't always come in a very clear way. Sometimes the path is very sort of winding and unclear, and we have to go through all these different things that don't make sense to a lot of people sometimes. And I know that, you know, there are lots of people in my life who probably thought, "What is she doing now?" And, and we really have to like come into our center and, like you were sharing, Sarah, just deeply, deeply listen to our own truth, because it's not going to make sense to anyone but us. So I just wanted to share that as sort of a permission giving example of how the path can unfold. And, you know, I really believe that we all have sacred medicine to share during these times, and that for those of us who want to be part of the Great Awakening, we have this amazing opportunity to help and support the evolution of humanity simply by remembering our innate wisdom and our connection to Mother Earth and the giving of our gifts in heartfelt ways. And I think lastly, I just want to share that this priestess path to me is so much about living from the heart. And when our hearts are open, we can feel everything around us. We can feel the way that Mother Earth receives the rain, and we can feel the way the snowflakes receive the sunlight. And, you know, when we make a fire, we can feel the memory of the wood as the tree and the way the tree lived between the earth and the sky. And when we eat food, we can feel the memory of where the food came from. And when we drink water, where the water came from. And it feels just so important for us to remember these sacred ways. And I think that's sort of my parting message to everyone. And Sarah, I'd love to just pass over to you to share any final words of wisdom with everyone, and also where people can find you and any information about what you offer as well.
Wow. I'm just would like to offer a blessing for all of us as we're entering into the new wheel of the year, and just a honoring of the web that connects us. And I'm very grateful to Tara to be here and be part of your circle. And, you know, as we, all of us are going through the year, just know that you and all these wonderful women connected, we're in prayer together and we're in creation together, and just really honoring these threads of connection. So where to contact me? You can go to GaiaCodex.com/2021, and there's a small offering there, a gift for us and for this program. And upcoming in 2021, actually after a very quiet year myself, as we've been in a COVID sanctuary, prayer and meditation and deep contemplation and sacred land ritual up here where I live in New York. I'm going to be offering several programs. We have the Illuminated Creation Art of Visionary Writing. That'll be a deep dive online program about awakening visionary writing within yourself, with a specific purpose for us to bring it forward as medicine for these times. That'll be a 9-week course, and we'll have information of that at the beginning of the year for how you can sign up for that. And then also this year, we'll be doing a deep dive into the Gaia Codex, which will be a 9-week course to really unpack some the key transmission codes of the Gaia Codex. It's funny, I've been, you know, this has been on my to-do list for some years, but I have not got the full permission, as you will, from the mother to do it until this year. And it feels very vital and very important. And I'm so excited to share what I've learned so far and to be in a group of women so we can really both gather, but learn together, you know, what this text reveals. And then immediately I'm doing a small book club that's being co-sponsored by Women's Nature School and Tree Sisters, which will just be a wonderful kind of dive and taste into the Gaia Codex, kind of a little starter kit, if you will. Be a group of women from around the world. And for everyone who signs up, we're donating 40 trees to be planted to help reforest our planet with 3 Tree Sisters. So that's what I know so far.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sarah. Those offerings sound so juicy, delicious, alive, vibrant, all of those words and more. And thank you so much too for your sacred offering, for the gift, for everyone who's listening here. So just to repeat that, if you go to GaiaCodex.com/2021, you can receive Sarah's gift as a thank you for listening to this podcast episode today. And Sarah, I just want to thank you deeply, deeply from my heart for this beautiful transmission today, this beautiful conversation, and just to be in connection feels deeply resonant on a personal level. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Tara. I feel it too. I was so excited to commune with you here today, and I'm just going to, I'm feeling the ripples going out. Mm-hmm. Really an honor. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all so much for being here. It's been so beautiful to gather together around our great fire, to hear the wisdom, to hear the stories of old, to remember this pathway of the priestess. And as I mentioned at the beginning, you are more than welcome to comment, to share about your reflections and thoughts and feelings on this podcast episode in the Dreaming the Ancestors Facebook group. And if you're not part of that community, I warmly, warmly welcome you to join us. So thank you all so, so much. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you can feel the power and strength of our togetherness as we walk through and enter into this new age with the winter solstice, the Aquarian age, And I also just wanted to share with everyone that next week on the solstice, I am offering an event in the Facebook group, the Dreaming the Ancestors Facebook group, which is called Songs of Solstice. And I'm going to be hosting a day-long event with different musicians and just beautiful women who are going to offer sacred songs and little rituals all throughout the day. And I'll be there as well, offering my sacred songs and some rituals as well. So I hope that you'll be able to join us for Songs of Solstice. And another aspect of this event that feels really special is that we're going to be collectively raising money for 3 nonprofit organizations. The 3 charities are Tree Sisters, the Loveland Foundation, and the Association on American Indian Affairs. And I'll be sure to put a link to that where you can sign up in the description of this podcast episode. It's going to be such a beautiful way to celebrate and welcome in and set intentions for this new wheel of the year as we come into 2021 very soon, and to really honor this beginning of the Aquarian age at the solstice. So I hope that you'll be able to join us, and sending you lots and lots of love. Until next time, blessed be.